The Recruitment Roller Coaster Podcast. My name's Hisham Aziz, and this is a show where I bring to life the true failures, successes, and learns of recruiters and recruitment business owners. Today, I'm joined by John Cousins, who is a Sydney-based recruiter. John started his career at one of the global leading recruitment firms, Randstad, where he quickly progressed from associate to a consultant. He then moved from recruiting within the construction and engineering sector to a rec-to-rec agency. He now works for Greenbridge Recruitment and works with the majority of the market-leading recruitment businesses in Sydney. He has now worked in recruitment for 3 years, and in that time, he has built a very large, engaging network on LinkedIn, and on a weekly basis, he shares his honest and sometimes controversial opinions on LinkedIn, which reach thousands of people each week. In this conversation, we discuss why recruiters should consider building a personal brand and what recruiters should look out for when thinking about joining a new recruitment firm. I hope you enjoy the conversation. John Cousins, thank you for joining me. How are you?
Hisham, I'm good. I'm good. I'm well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. All the way from Sydney. So look, John. As you know, I've done a bit of an intro for the listeners. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've got a couple of questions for you, and we'll sort of divulge and have a good chat, but. One of the things that I was really interested in, because my recruitment experiences with a small boutique agency, so there's now 8 of us, and obviously you went from a global recruitment firm, which is where you started, to how many people at your firm now? Is it 7?
So we've got 7, yeah.
Yeah. So how, that must have been a completely different culture, a completely different culture change. So how was that transition? How did you find that?
Yeah, so I suppose in terms of culture change, it's the big difference is really that the people that you're working closely with have a lot more buy-in and interest in what it is that you're doing day to day. So where you're working in a team. So I started in construction property engineering in a team of about 25 consultants in the Sydney office, part of the larger team across Australia, which would have been around 300 consultants in the construction team.
And that's just one team.
Yeah, so that's a construction property engineering team of Randstad in Australia. So it's huge. And then when I joined this team, I suppose the big difference is that the managing director of the business that I'm working in now, he sits directly across the table from me. So
Is he still billing?
Yeah, he's still billing. He's doing very well. Yeah, which is good because he's invested in my growth as well, kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
I think probably that was the best thing in moving from one of the big firms to one of the small firms.
You know what? So for me, that really resonates with me because I sit next to my director. He still bills. Everything that sort of I've learned and it is through him. And I think that a huge thing is that with that as well is you really do feel valued. And when you're staying there late after time and stuff like that, it doesn't feel like you're more than happy to do that because you know that you're putting in the work for someone who's also putting in the work to grow the business, etc. So I couldn't agree more, and I absolutely love that. And I think that it's just such a great opportunity to build a real solid relationship with the director of the business, which you work so hard for as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think aside from that, you can get a lot more opportunities as well in a smaller business. We didn't have much of a web presence and my boss, he'd never really done much on our website. So he said, look, if you want to go redesign a website, I'll pay you to do it and just give it a crack. So, you get the opportunity to kind of, make it your own a little bit.
Sure.
And have that direct input, with
and then, there's with so the much owner. More flexibility, so much more flexibility. And you don't have to jump through hoops to get your ideas. And must have had an idea and then, a month down the line, you've got this new website.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. That's exactly it. Yeah,
so, it's good. So as you said, you've gone from obviously construction. So now you're in the rec-to-rec space, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
So my thought process on this, and I'd love to get your thoughts. So now in the recruitment to recruitment space, my sort of perception would be that probably is wrong, by the way, but basically, if you're dealing with obviously clients and candidates, do they tend to be more receptive because they know how bloody hard your job is?
On one side, yes, on the other, no. So when you're dealing with clients, I mean, I suppose that's the easiest part of our job. Probably made easy by the fact that we're in an extremely candidate short market. So
Sure.
realistically pitching, the services of a rec-to-rec to a client, I mean, if they can justify what it is that they do on a day-to-day basis, then it's easy for them to understand what it is that I do on a day-to-day
Sure.
basis. On the flip side of that, though, when you're dealing with a candidate, so a recruitment consultant,
Yeah.
they a lot of the time, will heard of negative recruiters out there that have had some bad experiences. They
Yeah.
think that they're probably the best in their team anyway.
Yeah.
So the challenge there is, making sure that you can offer something to the recruiter, and that tends to be market knowledge.
Nice.
It's really difficult to go out, I think, when you're working in an organization and speak to your competitors and find out what they're offering, without, I suppose,
Being
going out and saying,
exposed or
"Hey, me."
yeah.
Yeah,
So
so you kind of get that.
you get more pushback from candidates who are billing, who obviously think they're great, etc. Because so you, okay, no, that's interesting. To be fair, I think that makes sense because as a recruitment business owner, you really do see the value in the only way they're going to grow and get bigger is by getting the right people. So I
Yeah,
guess
exactly.
it always comes down to that. The hardest part is getting the candidates. So
Yeah,
what
exactly.
I think I'd love to get your thoughts on this. So as you said, your recruiter market knowledge. So what should recruiters be keeping an eye out when considering a move to a new recruitment firm? What are the key things that they should be like, right, that's a red flag, or definitely that, do you get what I mean? What key things should they be looking for?
Yeah, well, I think there's probably a couple of things, and a few of them you can tick off very, very early. One is, obviously your commission scheme.
Sure.
Two, and two is your pay, your base kind of pay. But the thing you really want to look out for, which is really tough, is turnover in the business, right? And the easiest way to, I suppose, look for that is to either be looking at, people who've been there, going to talk to people who have been there.
Sure.
One of the best things you'll ever find is a business where people have worked there, left there, and gone back there.
Okay.
That tends to say that they're going to be doing something right in that business.
Yeah.
So things to look out for, movement in the business, people leaving quite regularly, because at the end of the day, that's a telltale sign that something is inherently wrong there.
Sure.
So turnover, yeah. And if
So
you know
do
if you
just
if you're
do a
happy.
bit of so just do a bit of extra due diligence and maybe send someone a
Yeah.
message on LinkedIn and say I'm considering this, what are your thoughts? Or just
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
yeah. So on top of, like you said, the commission, the people you meet, the environment, actually have a look at how many people actually last in this business. Because is that one of the common things that you find? Is that sort of one of the clients' biggest sort of challenges then, keeping their staff or retaining their
Yeah.
staff?
Yeah, hugely. I mean, retention of recruiters is tough. If you look across, average across the industry, at least in Australia, turnover rates are around what, 30%, 25%, and that's
Wow.
really high. Across all sectors, retention's usually, closer to 10%.
Sure.
So recruitment. I mean, it is a sales role, and a lot of the time you will find in, sales positions that there is a bit more turnover because, it requires a lot of energy to keep going and going, and you've got to be resilient. And there are a lot of pressures involved in recruitment as there are in other sales roles. So you would expect it to be a little bit higher, but it is significantly higher than, like, I suppose the general average across an economy.
For sure. I think there's a mixture of sort of both client and candidate involved in that, because I think that definitely recruitment as a sort of industry, there is a misperception of those who are thinking about getting into it. It's all sales, it's all meeting people, going out, networking. And then there's also a mixture of clients maybe having the expectations which just aren't realistic for individuals, or they haven't got the right platform. to bring on individuals which need a bit of time, and just there's going to be a bit of sort of teething for these guys to get in. So did you think that would you say it's both, or would you say it's more sort of candidates realizing, hang on a minute, this industry is definitely not for me? Or I don't know, what are your thoughts on that, obviously being in that market?
Yeah, I think that one of the big misconceptions when people are walking into the market is often the altruistic nature with which we deal with our candidates. So that is to say that people often join, you know, one, because, you know, they think they can make some money here, but money doesn't really mean much until it's in your bank account. So if you're comfortably living anyway, it doesn't mean anything to say you're going to take home an extra 20, 30, 40K, like double your salary. Because what are you going to do with that? Until you've got it, it doesn't mean anything. So a lot of people join it on the thoughts of, you know, I'm going to help people get jobs kind of thing.
Sure.
And there's a big difference, obviously, between an employment agency and a recruitment agency. You know, recruitment agencies work for a client. Employment agencies work for the person.
Sure.
And people got to keep in mind that, you know, as much as you can, you know, you can help a lot of people out in your role, you know, at the end of the day, you're working for your client to make sure that you fill their needs and requirements. And I think it's balancing that understanding between, yeah, you're going to make more money and you can help people. You're not going to be able to help everyone, because the nature of the role is that you present, you know, a number of clients to a candidate for a role. There's one role and there might be four or five candidates. That's, you know, three or four people who are disappointed because they didn't get the job, and one person who's stoked because he did get the job.
Mm.
So, you know, you're not going to be able to help everyone, although you are helping people. You know what I mean? So I think it's making sure that people don't feel as though they're going to walk in and save the world.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think one thing I did want to ask you, because you're in the recruitment space, and I think you're someone definitely, John, obviously over LinkedIn, you're not shy to share your thoughts, which I think is great, by the way. But obviously you see it online, particularly on LinkedIn, all the time, recruiters. Mm. People, not even sometimes, obviously recruiters, but other recruiters, but people slating recruiters, sharing bad experiences. And I mean, what do you think that, I guess even more so in your position in the rec-to-rec space, how do you think as an industry we can improve the perception of recruiters? How can we do that?
Yeah, I think that the key in all of that sort of negative kind of all the negative press that goes on about recruitment is it's a mismatching of expectations.
Yeah.
And that comes down to communication. So the way that I think, you know, we can all, I suppose, improve the reputation of the industry is largely about, you know, communicating the expectations to either your candidate or your client. So, for example, if I take a brief from a client and it's a really tough brief, I don't think I'm going to be able to fill it. I'll tell them up front. I'll say, look, I'm going to give it my best shot, but it might be 3 months. I may not have a person for that role. I'm not going to dissuade you from using another, you know, agency, because I don't think I can fill it.
Sure.
The same thing goes for candidates. I mean, I think it's easier for myself being a rec-to-rec, because recruiters tend to know what the score is.
Yeah.
But I suppose more broadly, back when I was recruiting in construction, for example, if I had, you know, several candidates who potentially were out for the same job, making sure that, you know, they know that there are other people going for that job, and you don't have to rank them. And I think it's a terrible idea too, but you need to let people know that there's a, you know, number of people in the mix. So set the expectations, set some deadlines, meet your deadlines, and give people a call back, and just be transparent about it.
I think you summed that up really well. And I think what I love with what you just said there, which I really agree with, it is the client side. Don't be just a yes recruiter. Don't just be a note taker. You have to be consultative. You're the expert. You're the consultant. You know, as you said, you're in a candidate short market. If they've gave you a brief and you know what, that's probably unrealistic, or they could be waiting a very long time. You want to be able to make, as you said, manage expectations, and also gain flexibility on what they're looking for, because do you get what I mean? So use your knowledge to really educate them on that. And then I think, and then with the candidate piece, I think, it's just so important to be honest throughout, and you're going to have to make those difficult calls, which a lot of recruiters just avoid. I think the whole interview feedback thing is so important. The fact that people will go to an interview, take time out of their day, and recruiters will just have the audacity to not even go back to them, or the candidate has to chase them to get the feedback. And all the recruit will then do once they've found out that they're not getting it is maybe even just send them an email. So I think you're right. So I think it's a mixture of managing clients' expectations, being consultative, and then also not being short-sighted with candidates, because the last thing that you want to do as a recruiter is not ruin, but burn that bridge of someone who you didn't get back to, is slow. They're going to have that perception of you. And then when you have that next excellent job for them, it's not going to be as a warm call. The relationship isn't going to be there because you're now talking to them just when you have something. Do you get what I mean? So I think you hit the nail on the head there. But so basically, John, as you know, I'm based in the UK, and I think it's become a big thing now for people to go traveling, Australia, etc. I think it's always been a big thing, but it's definitely booming. So how, I know there's a few changes recently. So how if people were thinking, you know what, I'd love to move to Australia, I've got a skill set of a recruiter, how can they go about sort of what are the restrictions of getting a recruitment job in Australia, John?
Yeah, so I mean, as you said, there's been a couple of changes to the laws in the past 12 months. One of the biggest challenges we're facing at the moment is a 90k base plus superannuation for anybody who's going to be sponsored, to come over and work as a recruiter. There's one or two ways around that. None of them are really necessarily solid or concrete. And what we're finding at the moment is there's quite a lot of hesitation from clients to look at sponsoring a person, purely because it, from a cost perspective, a person needs to be, let's just say, billing three times that in order to be worthwhile for the agency to take on. So if you want to be, you want
to get that in the first 12 months is going to be difficult.
Exactly. That's right. So it's a little bit of a challenge at the moment. It's not something that a person should rule out, but the difference is now that you've got a lot more people who are saying, all right, well, I'm a middle of the rung recruiter. I'm not billing $3-5 million a year. What do I do? And that's where we're in a little bit of a sticky situation at the moment. So what can you do? Shoot me an email, shoot one of my colleagues an email, and we'll give you some advice on it. But
so you can't go over there and then work for a business for a year, can you? You can only do 3 months unless they sponsor you. Is that right? Or is John, typical recruiter, picking up the phone. Can't believe it. what I said before, we got cut off there, was so can people come over and obviously work for like a year or is it they have to do like they can do like 3 months in a company, is that right?
Yeah, so you can do 6 months and then you've got to do
6 months.
And then you can do another 6 months, but it needs to be a different business. It's a little bit challenging at the moment. You can still get sponsored, but it's that 90k base plus super, which is quite high. Typically, people would be looking at 60-65 plus super.
Why do you think they've done that? Obviously, the country better than me. So
I think a lot of us are a bit of a loss as to why. There's a skills shortage in the market for recruitment consultants. There was a lot of lobbying that went on from the recruitment industry to say we shouldn't have these changes go through. They weren't successful. So as to why the government's done it, it's tough to say, right? I'll be honest with you. I can't put my finger on exactly what it would be, aside from wanting to, make, recruitment agencies hire more Australians. Because what you will find is that, for example, I'm the only Australian in my firm. When I was back at several agencies,
That is strange. Is that quite common?
Yes. Yeah, there would have been. Yeah, I mean, I'd say the agency market in Australia is made up of, I'd say, like 70% people from the UK.
50%
from it's
crazy.
At best, 1 in 10 is an Australian.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's a little bit of it's a strange market. I suppose it gives me a little bit more leverage now that I'm if people are asking me about the cricket, I don't mind talking about that, but ask me about the EPL before. I don't know much about Manchester United.
That's fair enough. So, John, look, before I let you go then, thank you so much for your thoughts so far.
No worries.
I mean, what have you got? What have you got going on in Australia at the moment then? What are you excited about with your recruitment desk, John? What's going on?
So we're working on, I suppose, more jobs than we could possibly fill at the moment in recruitment. Busiest sectors over here are construction, technology, and a lot of aged care and nursing type work as well. We've obviously got
Okay.
all the stuff, you know, accounting, finance, that sort of stuff as well. But it's super, super busy. As I said, more jobs than we could possibly fill. So people have got four or five options, you know, when they come and have a chat to us, pretty much almost guaranteed.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, it comes down to what people want to be doing, what sectors they want to work in, and we can almost always put them in the right direction.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I think that's a great position to be in. Obviously, you have to, for you have to get the people, but when the right people are open-minded, it's all about having good quality choices. So
exactly. Yeah.
if they can have three, four good quality choices, then that's in a great position to be in if you're looking to sort of progress or make a move. So John, how can people find and connect with you then, John?
Yeah, so probably the best way to get in touch with me is connect with me on LinkedIn. John Cousins at Green Ridge Recruitment is the best way to get in touch with me. My email's there, my phone's there. You know, shoot me a direct message on there, and I'll get back to you quickly. Yeah, if you want to get in touch, if you've got any questions at
Brilliant.
all.
Brilliant. Look, John, thank you so much for your time. Been an absolute pleasure.
No, thank
And
you.
no doubt I'll speak to you soon, John.
Sounds good. Thanks, Hisham. Talk
See
to
you
you soon.
later. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.